things are getting clear. Yeah, I feel free to bare my skin, yeah, that's all me. Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new plan. Nothing is everything. Getting clearer, I can see an infinite void inside of me. Nothing on my skin, that's the new plan. Nothing anywhere, I'm a nihilist man. Things are getting clearer. I got tricked into sucking the Demiurge's giant dick. Oh, 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 Zembic. Oh, 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 Zembic.
That is, of course, a track from the Richard Dawkins script that they just turned into a movie. It's called Jesus Christ Superstar 2. I was really, really wrong. And it stars Kevin. I'm really excited to see Kevin in this film. If you're wondering why my voice sounds like this, I will tell you why. It's because I updated my operating system, which is something you should never do if you work with audio. You should just leave it alone. If it works, that's great. Are you updating? What are you hoping for? Nothing's going to change that much. And yet, I do it. Every time I see that software update available, I get excited, I click it. What the fuck am I looking for? A new emoji? A memoji? What am I doing? And now this is the price that I pay. And unfortunately, updates roll downhill. And so you have to endure this intro with my voice sounding like I have a woman in a well that I'm about to skin. Children, I'm going to be at Helium in Portland this weekend. Almost all the shows have sold out. Probably by the time you hear this, it will be sold out. So why am I even mentioning it outside of some cheap, insecurity-based way to inflate my ego? It's pretty gross. But shows that haven't sold out yet, Copper Blues Live, Phoenix. That's going to be June 1st through the 3rd. And then I'm going to be at the Dania Improv in Dania Beach, Florida, June 15th through the 17th. Look, I don't care where you live. I don't care if you are one of those scientists in a deep underground military bunker in Antarctica. I need you to come to this Dania Improv show. I've never been to Dania Beach. It sounds nice, but I need my people there. So please, it doesn't matter. Do you live in the Hollow Earth? Are you someone who transcended when the great city of Shambhala reached a high frequency and shifted into some alternate dimension? Get the fuck back here. Pack your bags. We're going to Dania Beach, Florida. Are you in Japan? Are you in the Ukraine? Are you in Russia? Are you fighting on either side? Don't care. You're going to get in a caravan. You're coming to Dania Beach, Florida. Wherever you may be, even if this involves putting off dying during a certain phase of the moon, I need you there. Dania Beach, Florida. All those tickets can be found at DuncanTrussell.com. Also, won't you subscribe to the Patreon? It's patreon.com/DTFH. You will get commercial-free episodes of this podcast. Now, today, Ian Fidance is here with us. He is so... That was somebody texting me from Shambhala telling me they're coming to the show in Dania Beach. Ian Finance is so fucking funny. He just opened for me at the Mothership, and he just keeps getting funnier and funnier and funnier. Not only that, he is an incredible podcaster. You want the proof? The proof can be found at Being Ian with Jordan Podcast. Also, you must go see him perform. He's going to be at Zany's in Nashville. This podcast will go up on Thursday. Just go Friday, Saturday. He is so insanely funny. I give him 9,000 pentagrams. All right, I guess that's it. Now, let's... Oh, wait, it's not it. Also, he's got a lot of other dates coming up. You can find him at DuncanTrussell.com. Just click on this episode and all of his dates will be there so you could see if he's coming to a city near you. Now, if he happens to be in a city near you, at the same time, I'm going to be at the Dania Beach Improv. Don't go to his show. Come to my show. Hitchhike. Get a hot air balloon. Do whatever it takes. Crawl. Crawl if you have to. I need you at the Dania Beach Improv. All the dates, of course, are at DuncanTrussell.com. Now, everybody, welcome Ian Finance to the DTFH. Ian, welcome back to the DTFH. Look at you. You've got a background now. You've gone pro. It looks great.
Thank you, man. I'm in my podcast studio for Being Ian with Jordan, and it is in the basement of my apartment. So it's a long trek to work.
It looks fucking great. You got your Ghostbusters background. I'm seeing a lava lamp, Lucky Cat, menorah.
Yeah.
Some books.
Yeah. Thank you. Sam Talent, Mike Rainey.
Sam Talent's great
books. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I have enjoyed making this my own, and I feel like it's when we're down here, it just feels like we're hanging out in a basement. Your parents aren't home, and we're having a big sleepover. You know.
Ian, can you turn your mic up for me a little bit? Is that possible?
Yeah. Give me one second. Oh boy. Let me know.
Better. That's good.
Is this better? Yeah.
Yeah. Way better.
Okay. Cool. That's perfect. Is that all right? Good.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, the studio looks good, but the sound is shit.
That's the story of podcasting, baby. Woo. You can decorate the shit out of your studio. You can get a repaint. You can get all kinds of props set up, but the audio will fuck you every time. And if the audio isn't fucking you, this shit will pop up. Like right here, it says Ian is using a Rodecaster. Make sure they're using the right mixing settings. Let's see. Ian has been embezzling money.
Oh, yeah. No, that just came. That came with the warranty. Rodecaster.
It says on a Rodecaster Pro, enable mix minus audio processing and use Rodecaster Pro Stereo in Riverside. Do you know how to do that?
No, I don't.
All right, well, it sounds fine to me. Fuck you, Riverside. Leave me alone.
Yeah, is this all right?
Yeah, it's hard enough. I don't need you telling my guests how to do their fucking audio.
Yeah,
it's
fuck you.
Fuck you, technology. Fuck you, AI.
Yeah.
Fuck AI. God damn.
Ted Kaczynski had it right. What?
Yeah, Ted Kaczynski was fucking right. He called it from the get-go. Minus the mail bombs thing, he could have been a really great author.
I know. He just had to take it one step too far.
You know, it's just, you know, the moment that you feel like you need to write a manifesto, that's a warning sign. That's like
we should be trained on that. Like, I know that. I know where I'm at when I get in the manifesto mood.
All of a sudden, you see me just taking stacks of paper and be like, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm just hiding them away from the camera.
Pushing an old typewriter away. You can't write a manifesto on a computer. You got to type it. You got to get, like, a nice typewriter.
Oh, yeah. Anything on the computer, it's passe. You got to go old school typewriter, sign it in blood. Maybe put newspaper clipping letters on the envelope, you know?
Another bad sign. If you, it's like writer's block. How you know you've got it really bad is when you're on eBay looking at typewriters. Like, you're you're so fucked. Because you're like, the problem is the keyboard, man. Not my thoughts, not my creativity. I've got it all right here. I just need an antiquated machine to get this shit.
I'll go you one further. Every time I go on eBay, I'm in a bad place. I'm never on eBay buying things because things are good. I'm doing it so I have something to look forward to, or else I'll fucking jump off a roof.
I have never gone on eBay in a nice state of mind, ever. Yeah. Like, every time it's really eBay is the bottom of the barrel for me.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this means I've gone through all of Reddit conspiracy. This means I have doom scrolled everywhere, and all that's left is go on eBay and look at haunted dolls, which is a very interesting genre of. I'm serious, man. Haunted dolls on eBay. Have you ever checked them out?
No. Dude, what is this?
This is called capitalism. This is ultra capitalism. So what people do is they go to a thrift store and they buy a creepy looking doll and then they put it on eBay, like sell it for 5,000 times more than they bought it for. And they just say, this is an extremely haunted doll. And people want to buy haunted shit. So they're like, God damn, let's buy a haunted doll. And they buy this shit.
I'm haunted. Somebody buy me. My head is a haunted house.
You
put
could.
Put some money into me.
You've got to take the first step. I'm telling you, the haunted doll business, it's hot. Haunted dolls, haunted boxes. On the dark web, you can get... I went through this whole thing. Like, you can go on YouTube, the opening of haunted boxes bought from the dark web. It's a whole thing where people will order a fucking haunted box from they don't know who it is. It's just like, this will and it's horrible, Ian. Like, the sales pitch is just like, it'll ruin your life. There's demons in the box. You should never open this box. And then they film themselves opening the box sent to them from some Eastern European fucking entrepreneur. Inside is just chicken guts, ecstasy.
No.
Yeah, there's drugs. They'll send drugs in the box.
That's why I've got this Ghostbusters trap to get all the spirits.
You need it. You need it. I guess some people just want to be cursed. You know, like, they're so bored with their life.
I wonder if it's a thing of like, you know, they're haunted boxes, but do they ever do mystery boxes? Like, you don't know what spirit's going to come. You just bid on it. And it's like, you'll get a random spirit.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. They don't say what comes in your shitty box. They just say it's going to fuck up your life. So there might be a thumb. I mean, this is from like, this is from, what's that movie? That Hostel. This is from the darkened lands, you know? This is like people who do communicate with Odin, and they don't, they just are like, yeah, put Sven's thumb in. What do you mean? And then they'll just, body parts.
Are they just shipping out the ingredients of a witch's cauldron?
It's a great way to dispose of a body. It's like, chop somebody up. You're in wherever, Belarus, you're out there. You have been, you know, you've got another body on your hands. It's like, you're sick of like the normal disposal methods. You just chop them up, send them out in dark web boxes.
I mean, what is the shipping on that?
Fucking expensive. I mean, that's why the box is on the dark web costs. I mean, I don't even go on the dark web. I went on there once. I'm acting like I'm a hacker. I've been on there once. I got creeped out and never went on it again.
I wanted to do a joke of like, remember when there was that rumor that Wayfair was shipping child sex slaves in furniture? Yes. That was crazy, right? Anyway, yes. Does anyone want Shay's Lounge? Unused?
Unused Shay's Lounge. Yeah, that was a real, that was a fun one. That was like peak QAnon hysteria there. I went on the, did you check it out? I went on the Wayfair site to like sort of examine this overpriced furniture. And it seemed like it was like an AI had just fucked up. Like they have an AI that kind of populates it with bullshit, and an AI had just gotten confused or whatever. Definitely, probably, I'm sure there's like better ways to sell your kid than to like go like create a fake Wayfair furniture account, right? Like,
yeah.
Surely there's got to be a better way to sell kids.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm a fan of the good old fashioned auction. You know,
yeah, whatever happened
just
to
bidding in the market, you know,
whatever happened to that, man. I mean, I don't want to get political and everything, and I you know, I don't want to get all dismal and shit, but do you remember those days you'd go to the child market and it was like it was fun? You'd get caramel corn pizza and then you just bid on
a child.
who wants to fucking buy a kid?
Yeah,
that's the other what are you doing? Like, it's like 5 million times worse than a puppy. Like, it's gonna, what are you gonna do with that? It's gonna,
I mean, a puppy, you've got 12, 16 years, maybe. A kid, 18 plus, you're not, you gotta hide them, you're gonna spend all, I mean, it's just too much work. Who's got the time?
We're so, like, the most naive idiots on earth. We think child traffickers are like putting them through college.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. You got to get them to sporting events. You got to sign them up for camp. I mean, it's just such a responsibility.
It's too much. Why are they doing that to themselves? Kids are so expensive. The food, medicine, you got to get their vaccines.
Medicine, vaccine. What if they need braces? My God.
Jesus. Yeah, that's got to suck. When you buy your kid and the Wayfair shipment comes and you open it up and you're like, hey, you're home now. Can I get you some mac and cheese? Can I see your teeth?
Yeah.
It's like, fuck! God,
you just got your braces off and now you gotta get your wisdom teeth out. When does it stop? You just got your braces off, and now you got to get your wisdom teeth out. When does it stop?
Fuck, I'm never ordering from Wayfair again.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Leaving a negative review about the child you received from Wayfair.
The child I received from Wayfair does not pay attention in karate.
Yeah.
So
they're not applying to themselves, and they have really bad ADHD. I don't like it.
There is some creepy statistic I read, maybe not true, that said human trafficking is one of the number one industries on the planet. Did you ever read that?
No, that's so bleak. It's so sad. It makes me sad. Because I never traveled as a child, and I feel like that could have really helped me.
These kids get to see the world.
I know.
But I mean, how does that even, I guess I don't understand how it works. Like, first you got to procure the kid, packaging. Like, how do you even send a kid in a box? What do they put them in? Do they wrap them in bubble tape, or is it?
I don't know. Well, I mean, every kid's allergic to peanuts, so you can't use those, styrofoam peanuts anymore.
So how do you, I got to get a trafficker on this show.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Just hang out in a Greyhound station. You'll find one.
You know, this is, I think, why sex robots are a good thing. I think it's going to take care of a lot of the human trafficking problem, like just robots in general. Like, like humans are difficult to work with, you know, but once we get robots going, it's going to kill the child trafficking business. It's probably going to fuck up the economy because who wants to order a human slave when you can order like a robot? It's legal. It gets upgrades. You know what I mean? It's no one's going to do it anymore. Like, I'm sure that there's a lot of human traffickers out there who are shaking in their boots.
It's going to be interesting when self-driving Mack trucks deliver the robot child sex robots. It's like, man, we've really gotten the human aspect out of everything.
Out of everything. All that's left is just fucking self-driving cars, Mack trucks, baristas are robots, and just everyone's just inside fucking their sex robot. That's all it is. There's no one goes outside. In every home, people are just fucking their sex robot. You go to your friend's house, he's got a nicer sex robot than you. You know, it's going to be that, like, you know, my least favorite kind of car commercial is where the dude is in his driveway with his new shit car. It's some dumb car. And his neighbor is jealous. You know that genre of car commercials?
Yeah.
It's so, no one cares about your car.
Do you know how many commercials I've auditioned for where I'm the jealous neighbor? And they're like, okay, so you're mowing your lawn and you pop your head up over the fence and go, Ford Taurus, ma.
Yeah, it's always the worst. It's the saddest, worst car. Yeah. It's a lease. You don't even own the fucking car. You got it for no money down. It's a shit car. And your neighbor acts like the grail, the Ark of the Covenant is in your fucking driveway. Car companies, man, they really are like just the worst when it comes to social engineering. They're just they either play on jealousy or they play on the dream of a new life. Like somehow they try to tie that car up and like your life is starting over.
They're always driving in nice neighborhoods and the family's happy. There needs to be a real car commercial where it's just a dad yelling at the kids to shut up in the back.
Yeah.
The husband and wife are trying to not get divorced. They turn the music up so the kids won't hear them arguing.
Yeah. And he's like, just no more fucking Taylor Swift, you bitch. There's fucking cans, beer cans rolling around. God damn it. You know he couldn't afford this shit, you bitch. It's not going to fix anything. You fuck Daryl.
You're going to make me late for my GED class.
You're going to fuck Daryl in this one, too? You're going to fuck him in the back. See, shut up. Stop crying back there.
I thought this car would fix everything, but IKEA just doesn't do it anymore.
That's what, you know what they need to do is like the car commercial version of that would be they're driving in this car, kids are in the back seat, Taylor Swift is playing, and the guy looks over at her and he's like, you know what? It's okay that you fucked Daryl. And then like happy music plays, like the car fixed the adultery. That's what we need. The other car commercial, which isn't family related. The family related one says two things. One, the car you're driving in is 100% going to kill your family. Two, if you buy this car, your family will live happily forever. That's the other genre of it is I love the outdoors. So that's the other genre is like, now that you have this Range Rover, you were going to be like driving off road through the Grand Canyon or something with your lover.
At a time when now more than ever, people are never leaving the house. They're like,
ever.
Yeah, this is so unrealistic. The family's driving to go camping. It's like, nobody does that anymore.
It's like the phone camera commercials. Like whenever they're trying to sell a phone, no one gives a fuck about the phone function anymore. No one cares about the internet function. Yeah. All they have left is the camera. And mm-hmm. so those commercials give you the impression you're going to get into extreme sports if you buy, you know, it's like, it's dudes doing backflips on fucking half pipes and
yeah.
like doing like wingsuiting. Oh, you get this fucking phone, you are going to be so active. You won't yeah. even believe, you're not, the reason you're not active right now is not because you're a flabby pussy. Yeah. The reason you're not active right now is your phone sucks, man.
You need a better camera. But that's not relatable. Make it for Americans. Make it for us. A camera that makes your dick look better in a dick pic.
Ah, now there you go. Yeah. Jesus Christ, Ian. You need to get on the phone right now with Apple because, you know, one of these fucking stupid phones, I can't remember which one. The selling point is, do you know about this, the moon scam?
No.
Okay, the selling point was, you can finally film the moon. Not only can you finally film the moon, this fucker will zoom in on the moon like the Hubble telescope, and you're going to get like, it's like a moon telescope. It's not just a phone. So people started getting suspicious because they realized that the moon it's zooming in on, it seems to be kind of the same moon. It's like not the moon they're looking at. And all it was doing was taking, it knew you were looking at the moon, and then using like augmented reality to superimpose
a
preset moon. And you would zoom in and be like, oh my God, this is insane. Honey, come over here and look. Will you stop fucking Daryl? Look at it, how good this picture is. And it was fake. It was a whole scam. It was like AR moon.
That's so terrifying. We're living in hell. I mean, God damn it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is interesting that, like, I mean, there was probably a time, there's laws that are exist in existence now. We just take them for granted. But at some point, those laws didn't exist. No one had made the law. And before the law existed, I don't know what the law I'm thinking of, but I'm certainly there's new laws that get added all the time because people mm-hmm. exploit the system. But we don't have the laws we need right now. There's laws we need that just don't exist. And it's like, you know, the person who made the Ozempic commercial. Do you watch TV much?
No.
Do you know the song? Ozempic.
Yeah.
You know
that? Okay. I get that confused with O'Reilly's Auto Parts.
Is there an O'Reilly's? Those motherfuckers stole the O'Reilly's Auto Parts. Ozempic! That should be illegal. Like, whoever made the song, the musicians involved, the writer of the song, the person who funded the song, that should be like a 5-year prison sentence. Like, they should know
and
when they're making the song.
Whoever made the Cars for Kids commercial should be drawn and quartered in a public square.
Listen, you're a little more extreme, but you would be welcome on our Council of Judgment.
Thank you.
We would love to have you. We could have it like the points of a pentagram. Everyone sits on a point. Then we all sort of, blood marbles or something to vote. Marbles made of the crystallized blood of people who've made shitty commercials. And you just drop them in and then boom. Whoever is like making this MK Ultra shit goes to jail or drawn and quartered. I won't protest. If people vote drawn quarter, we draw and quarter. I'll tie the fucking rope to the hoof.
I mean, why not two for one? The blood and body parts we draw from them, we put in a box and sell them on the dark web and make millions.
Curse boxes. Curse Boom. Boxes from the Council of Six.
Yes!
Yeah.
We did it.
We're the ones who put the Ozempic ad. I mean, when you think about it, though, like the studio sessions for recording the Ozempic song, like what's the energy in the room when you're recording pharmaceutical companies' music? Like it can't be good. Like the energy in the room is just, or my real fear is that like obviously I've thought about this too much, is that, you know, after a really good Ozempic take, somebody in the studio is like, incredible. That was incredible. You know, like they're so oblivious to what their lives have turned into that it's flipped to the other side. We're like, Jesus God, I told you Greg would be good. Did you hear that?
It's they act like when the Wonders from that movie hear their song on the radio for the first time. Running around screaming.
Babe, it's me. Daddy, is that you? Oh, Zampik! Oh, God, that fuck. The other one that is like permanently burnt into my head is Nothing is Everything. You know that one?
No, Sky, what's that?
Sky, it goes, things are getting clearer. I can see bump, 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 bump. Nothing is everything. It's for
this.
It's an eczema cream. It's an eczema cream. It's, man, you are healthy. You ride bikes. You're out there in the world. You're, anytime I talk to someone, it's a test, honestly. Like if you sing the Sky Rizzy commercial to someone and they've never heard it, it means their life is better than yours. It's just, there's no way around it. Your life is better than mine. If you've avoided that commercial, it says so many things. You don't watch Fox News. You don't go on the internet that much. You're not blasting your mind with filth.
Yeah, I mean, instead, you know, I'm a pillar of health. I'm a 2-pack-a-day smoker. and I'm like, yeah, I don't need pharmaceutical commercials, even though I'm going to be on every medication ever when I'm dying from lung cancer.
Well, look, I mean, it's, you know, you see the shits of wild animals and there's just worms. You inside of wild animals, they're just, I was on this island and I saw a deer just covered in fucking mosquitoes and pox and pus. And, you know, this is like the real Bambi. This is a fucking creature that's just, it's just a walking blood bag and it's a host organism.
Right.
That's me for these commercials. You're clean. You're pure. You don't have the sky. You don't wake up with nothing is everything. You don't wake up with something that was definitely created by people who for sure spent time at the CIA, who for sure have interrogated the Taliban. And
or poor people that weren't in the Taliban and they just couldn't have an understanding of the language, so they just assume their guilt.
Right. That you're out there. You're a farmer. The next thing you know, stormtroopers have thrown you in a cargo jet, and then you're just on some island that represents like a liminal space. It's not really the United States.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is.
And they think because you're saying you don't know anything and you're pleading that you're just holding out. And if they torture you enough, you'll tell us something.
Yeah. And you got all these new agents who are like, hey, can we try my thing? I'm telling you, please try my new synthetic cortisol mixed with PCP. VR will make this fucking asshole sing like a bird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just people lining up to test their projects. People lining up to, like, hey, I know this doesn't necessarily have to do with interrogating the prisoner, but I did notice he's got a pretty blazing case of eczema.
I was just going to say, let's get some Ozempic in him and see what he says.
All of them. Ozempic, Skyrizi. These are just fucking interrogation medications that didn't work to manipulate the prisoners. And now they're like, well, somehow their eczema got better. So we could probably fucking sell it.
I will say what I found interesting is with a lot of like depression and anxiety medications, they'll run these ads and you'll notice in every ad, they go, ask your doctor about slibbity slap. And with psychiatrists, and I don't know how it is with, you know, other doctors that are giving you like medicine and antibiotics and stuff, but with psychiatry and everything, they don't really know how that medicine is going to affect you. And right. sometimes you have to say to your doctor, oh, I've read up on Effexor. Can we try that? And the doctor will be like, oh, yeah, you know, I haven't really thought of that. Sure. So it's like these commercials are putting your own livelihood in your own hands because the doctors are just throwing shit at the wall to see what'll stick. And half the time you got to be on a medication for 6 months just to see if the side effects go away and it works. And afterwards you're like, oh, it doesn't work. They're like, well, let's start it over again, which is why so many people have a hard time with medication.
Well, and don't forget, a lot of these companies, they pay doctors. They come in, they have these PR campaigns, they lube up the docs. Yeah. So you go in and you mention, hey, Ozempic, what do you think? And the doctor will be like, oh, yeah. Ozempic. Fuck yeah. Because I don't know this for sure, but I think they might get some kind of bonus or... You know, if they prescribe it, they get the whole thing is insane. Like it's in other countries, it's illegal for pharmaceutical companies to advertise. You can't.
Yeah. I mean, dude, there's a book called Dreamland. I think Samuel Quinones, I may be butchering the name of the author, but it's an incredible read about the opiate crisis and how doctors were incentivized and also at the same time they were kind of bullied into giving opiates because at a certain point they changed they kind of made doctor visits like a Yelp review where the patient would be like they would review the doctor and if they didn't get the medication they wanted they would give the doctor a low review so in order to save their job the doctor would just give the patient whatever they wanted so that then the patient would be like 10 out of 10 and then doctors would just, and they were getting paid per visit. So if they saw 12 patients in a day, in and out, prescribing them medication, it'd be a lot faster than taking an hour or two to go through the patient's medical history, this, that, the other. And it was just so insidious, and it's gotten
it's satanic.
To where we are. It's
worse than Brave New World. It's Brave New World is kind of is like utopian in this dark way. People were fucking each other on these like awesome psychedelics. This version of it is just like, yeah, the doctors have been beaten down. They need the business. They got the student loan debt. They can't fuck off and like not prescribe synthetic heroin to people. People don't want. Also, they at some point you just realize as a doctor, they don't want to get better. They want to get high. That's all they want. They're not even coming to me because they want to feel better physically and exercise. It's not even gonna, just give them the fucking oxycodone or whatever it is. Okay, look, we're gonna cut to a commercial real quick. This episode of the DTFH has been sponsored by Pfizer. Pfizer. Hold on, I'll be right back. Hold on, 1 second. We are back. Dude, so did you know this little tidbit of data? Apparently pharmaceutical companies, they're 80% of the advertising of networks. Did you know that? 80%?
No.
I don't know if that's true. I go on so many websites.
Hold on. This is so funny because you go, did you know this? Have you heard of this statistic? 80%. Of ads are from pharmaceuticals. And I'm like, holy fuck, that's wild. You go, yeah, actually, I don't know if that's true or not. I might be talking out of my ass.
Jerry, pull that up. Here, hold on a second. Let me see. Let me see. Pharmaceutical companies.
Jerry, get on it, you motherfucker.
Pharmaceutical companies, ad revenue companies. In 2020, the pharmaceutical industry spent $4.58 billion US dollars on advertising. So that's a huge, I mean, you don't even have to like trust my hippie ass. Like, and don't, and listen, if you work at a pharmaceutical company, I love your, many of your pills. So don't feel bad, but you know, if you,
whoa, hey,
what?
The you're cutting out big time. I don't know.
Hang
if
on,
it's
I can fix it.
The Wi-Fi.
I can fix it. Hang on.
Or
what?
Or if Big Pharma is listening to us and it doesn't want us to talk
Hold
about
on,
this.
Hold on, let me check. Yikes! Yeah, you were right. I just got the red light. Oh fuck. Okay, we're back. We are talking about pharmaceuticals. We are talking about corruption, but most importantly, we're talking about how good it feels to get high, baby.
Really, really high?
Yeah. Oh, ow. Dude, I went to a pill mill. There was a pill mill doctor in LA that people started hearing about. They're like, you go there, you just ask him whatever you want. He'll prescribe it for you. He does not give a shit about you. So I went there because I'd heard about this new speed that fighter pilots were taking. And I was really curious. I read all these articles that said it enhances your IQ.
Whoa.
So I go to this fucking doctor. The waiting room's just filled with old people who need like morphine or whatever. He had his own pharmacy in the waiting room.
Oh my
like
God.
The wait in front of the waiting room is a pharmacist. So I go in with this doctor and I'm like, we didn't even pretend. He wasn't like, let me take your pulse or anything. He's like, so what's going on? I'm like, well, have you heard of this shit, modafinil? And he's like, no, he had this thick accent. And then I'm like, well, I want to take it. And he's like, what is it? And I'm like, some kind of fighter pilot speed. And he's like, whoa. And he looks it up. He Googles it. He's like, well, he asked me, he goes, what dosage do I give you? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Whoa.
I'm not I don't know. Then he Googles it. And he's like, writes a prescription for me right there. And then he's like, do you need anything else? I'm like, no, this is good.
When was this?
And I left.
When was this?
This was, he got arrested. This was so long ago. It just didn't work. He was just writing scripts, getting rich. But he got busted. They shut him down, thank God. But yeah, I mean, those doctors are out there, man. They're like the Sith Lords of doctors. They just want that fucking insurance money for they get when you come in.
Yeah, it's wild in so many industries, whether it's social services, public servants, or even, you know, doctors. People stop becoming people to you at a certain point, and you just are earning a paycheck, yeah. And then people turn into paperwork. And yeah. I feel like your soul and your consciousness leaves you, and you're just doing a job. Instead of like sitting back and going, oh, I think I'm truly facilitating evil right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you, it's like, a few rotten clients, I think, you know, you after you don't see the normal sick people that you're helping.
Mm.
You just remember the person who sued you, or you remember the, you know, that somebody who fucked up your doctor life a little bit or whatever. And yeah, I think people like us make the big assumption that everyone is like us, you know, like you assume like, yeah, I know I'm not the best person in the world. No one's the best person in the world, but we make the assumption that there's people
trying
who after they, who they go home. They made a mistake. They said something rotten to somebody. They were in a bad state of mind and it bothers them. Mm-hmm. As opposed to like people just the moment the interaction has happened where they said the worst thing they could say to somebody or fuck someone's life up. They're not thinking about it 2 minutes later. It's not even on their minds. They're just, you ever play like nasty Monopoly?
No, what is that?
Well, it sounds a lot more fun than, you know, just where you start playing Monopoly and the game turns mean.
Oh, you know? I thought it was a version that like Mattel was selling like adult Monopoly. I was like, oh, what's nasty? Instead of buying property, you buy people and you sell them.
Yeah. Yeah. Nasty Monopoly, baby.
What are you willing to do for Park Plaza?
Yeah, there's no money in Nasty Monopoly, but it does dispense lube. got lube dispensers on every
get out of pegging free card.
I just think some people that's how they live. Like they, when I'm like that moment you let yourself go evil on Monopoly. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is just Monopoly, but I'm gonna be evil. I'm gonna like play the part of a beast. Mm. And then the game's over, and like you know, whatever, you're friends again. I think people they play life like that. So they, you know, if you look at Trump, the way he acts is the way I act when I'm playing Monopoly and being mean.
Right.
You know, you look at like Biden, it's like another version of like mean Monopoly player. I don't think they look at the world like we do. And I think you're totally right.
And I think, you know, unfortunately, and also, you know, I'm not a part of this group and I don't plan to be, but I think a lot of it comes from parenting. I think a lot of people, anyone can be a parent, but to be a good parent, it takes a lot of work. And instilling values and instilling these ideas of consequences and like actually really being in someone's life has long-term lasting effects. And I think a lot of people are poorly parented and it's just generationally repeated. And on top of that, you know, on the flip side, anyone can be corrupted with money and power. So no matter how good you are, how good your intentions, once you start getting money and power, you're going to completely change. And if you aren't rooted in good foundation of growth and, you know, something instilled in you, your house of cards is easier to fall, I will say.
You know what we need? We need a summer camp for wayward billionaires. Where, like, you take these shitty billionaires, you put them in this camp, you don't get your phone, you're there with other wayward billionaires, and you do group activities, learn to build fires together, rowing, I don't know, prayer circles.
Oh, you can do your anxiety coloring book, which is what I had to do in rehab.
Anxiety coloring book.
Yeah, you draw what your anxiety looks like. And for me, it was just pictures of parents fighting.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah, this is like you I think you nailed it. I mean, it's never one thing, but I do. It's like, why are parents bad parents? Are parents bad parents because they're evil? No. Many parents are shitty parents because they're being crushed under the heel of capitalism. They fucking can't afford. The kids need cheese. They need bread. They need fucking milk. It's like you gotta pick. Do you want hungry kids or kids who aren't hungry but are at a garbage preschool?
Totally.
I've heard stories of these preschools, dude. Like in communism, the idea was the state becomes your parent. So your parent, the nuclear family or whatever, mm-hmm. this is bullshit. It produces too many problems within a nuclear family. You can't really control stage one mental manipulation because the parents, who knows what they are? They're mm-hmm. going to tell the kids that they're going to go to hell if they die, or they're going to tell the kids that God is more important than the state, or they're going to fill the minds with antiquated filth. So the idea is you separate, get the kids educated early on to know the state is mommy and daddy, mm-hmm. and mommy and daddy are just members of society, but they're secondary to the state. Capitalism, it's this chaotic version of that. Like, we like to think we're not separating the children from the parents, mm-hmm. but we sure as fuck are. But instead of sending them to like a state facility where they're like, whatever, saluting General Mao, they're in a preschool that smells like a fucking internment camp. It smells like a Civil War hospital. I've heard stories, man, these kids are just on the floor crying. Ugh. There's too many kids, not enough people. So so you see a parent out in the world who's just trying to like care for the kids they love, and they know that's happening. They have to go pick them up from there. Mm-hmm. They know that look on their kid's face is not the glassy
kid's got the look on his face like he was at some famous World War II battle or something, and he can't articulate to you what happened.
He pulls his pacifier out of his mouth like a cigarette. He's like, I've seen some bad things. Mommy, I saw some shit.
Yeah. They see, and dude, we're touring schools, man. And like, try to get our kid in a good school. And like, in front of us, there's like, you know, the whole line of these kids in front of us at one of these schools. This teacher bends down, gets in the face of a three-year-old. Ugh. And like does like prison guard shit to the three-year-old. You will behave. And then marches these poor kids to their classroom. It's like, so you have like this combination of parents who want to be good parents. This is probably me being very naive. I think that's generally what parents want, but they can't. They're working 2-3 jobs.
Yeah.
So they got to fucking offload these kids to preschools and God knows where else. And so these kids are just getting bumpered around capitalism.
And that's the thing too. It's like, you can be the best parent in the world, but at some point it's out of your control. Like, you know what, you can do everything you can, but once you put them on that school bus, man, and then the other kids that weren't parented well will influence your kid and this and that. And then you take them to the school and they're not managed well. And it's just like, I mean, man, God bless you so much for being a parent and a good parent. And there's so many out there, but it's just, I've kind of accepted the fact that I know in my heart of hearts I could be a good parent. I just also know in my heart of hearts I don't have the dedication to it because I'm too self-involved right now.
Hold on. Yeah, but that's okay. Boy, what are you doing in the fucking studio? Go get me a fucking cigar. There's glass on the floor. Have mommy put bandages on your feet. I told you to wear shoes. Yeah, I love my kids. And, you know, this is the what you're saying there. I don't know if you really actually feel any kind of like non-reproducing guilt, but I think this is perfectly fine. And really good. Like you having kids is like, you know it when it's time.
Yeah.
Like it's very primordial. Like your body, you meet somebody, your pheromones match up in some way that you will never understand. Something clicks in your brain and you decide to have kids. Like they did a study where they did genetic testing on like a group of dudes and a group of women. And they took matches. They basically like they took the clothes, the t-shirts these guys have been wearing, their stinky ass shirts, put them in Ziploc bags and had the women choose a mate based on the smell of their shirt.
No.
And yes. And like 90% or something of the women picked the perfect genetic match just from the smell of the shirt. And
that's beautiful.
The ones where it got fucked up is apparently, I think, the women on birth control.
Yes, I was going to say, wasn't there a study about women on and off birth control with pheromones and smell, and it led to like divorce or some sort of like mismatch or something? Because
yeah,
it affects your sense and smell and biology so much.
Watch out. If your partner gets off birth control, which is probably not the worst decision, they might just suddenly be like, you smell like shit. They suddenly are just sexually disinterested in you because their body is telling them, do not reproduce with that motherfucker. Like, you are going to make some fucked up babies if you reproduce with that person. And then they all this is happening like in the sub basement of your body. Like, you don't know. Yeah. You're just all of a sudden you're like, God, I hate the way he holds the remote control. But really your body is telling you, you fucking reproduce with that guy, you know, you're going to make a fucking goblin. Don't do it.
Yeah. Don't do it. I'll say when I'm so into someone and I'm in a relationship, I'm such a pheromone guy. Like, I don't want them to wear deodorant. I want to, like, sniff their armpits, and they'll, like, put their nose in my ear and stuff. Or, like, I'll get done working out or riding my bike, and they'll be like, well, don't go in the shower. Like, smell is so important. And it's so fucked up what birth control does to the female body, and with hormones and changes, and then you get off it and you have this whole new sense of smell and attraction. And it's just, again, back to pharmaceuticals and how it just completely destroys humanity as it should naturally be, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just so many different, like, untraceable factors are mixed in with us at this point. Like, we got, you know, we're getting our dope. We're all dopamine addicts. Like, we're all getting high on our phones.
Yeah.
Add to that, you know, birth control mixed in with, you know, I believe in telepathy. I believe that there, everyone puts out some kind of, I don't know, pulse or whatever you want to call it, quantum entanglement, or some kind of general signal emanates from a person, meaning that, like, the old model of meeting people at a bar, at a restaurant, at a club, at a museum, you what's happening there are all these, like, natural synchronistic patterns or convergences are happening, and then you meet someone in this very normal, natural way that I know this. Go ahead. I don't care. Make fun of everyone. Makes fun. I don't care.
No. I'm listening.
I'm telling you. I wasn't talking to you. I was just, in my mind, I have a contingent of people on the internet who are, like, just rolling their eyes, vomiting. I you know, like, when you have kids, you get this weird feeling. Like, did the kids have something to do with me meeting this person? Like, how involved was I in this situation? Mm-hmm. How much control did I have in this situation? How much of this was just some souls wanting to come into the universe through this particular portal to deal with the karma that I'm going to, like, inevitably, like, pass on to them? I don't know, man, but you throw Tinder and Grindr, all the fucking electronic ways of meeting people, and you're eliminating this huge 3D space that used to have, the spatiality that was involved in reproduction. It's like everything's getting compressed to the screen. And then what kind of kids are coming out of that?
Well, also, you know, I certainly I'm not the first one to say it, but the whole meeting online thing, it's such a mind fuck in terms of, like, okay, when do we move from the app to texting? When do we move from texting to seeing each other? And then just, am I texting too much? I've heard of this thing called, like, a double text. You're not supposed to text two texts at once, or, like, this or that. And now there's this new thing where girls get the ick, where if they see you, like, you know, use your straw wrong, they're like, oh, ick, I can't be with you. And it's like, what the fuck? What is happening? And there was something to be said about, like, distance. Even when you were living in a world where someone was, you know, maybe living in your same neighborhood or a 10-minute drive, if you weren't constantly attached to them with the phone, you still had that distance, which would make you look forward to seeing each other more. But I find, for me, the phone makes things so hot and heavy so fast that it almost runs out of steam because everything is so accessible. And
listen to you, you Chad.
What?
You're a Chad.
What's a Chad?
You're like, dude, I've seen you. You've got, like, serious game. Like, you're assuming, like, that's the normal reality for most dudes. Like, you've got, like, crazy mystical game. Like, I've seen you do that. I've seen it, man.
What?
It's like, yo, shut the fuck. Did I out you? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I know you don't. It's all a mystery. And at the end, I don't know. I don't know how I do a triple backflip. It's just I get that funny feeling in my feet. And then I flip it back three times. How did I break that world record? I don't know. A mystery. I guess it's just the Mercury must not be in retrograde. You got people lining up to fuck you at shows.
Yeah, but I 99% of the time I don't do it because I'm at the point now where I just kind of want a connection, and the fleeting moment of coming is no longer attractive to me. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'll do it. One time after a show, a girl came up to me and she goes, "You are such a weirdly attractive little man. Can I just smell you?" And I was like, "Okay." And she smelled me and was like, "Look, I don't know what you're doing tonight, but I will do whatever you want." And I was like, "Oh God.
Wow."
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Now let me tell you what you just did. So I'm sure you've read the statistic on the amount of single dudes out there right now. It's horrifying. Like 70% or
yeah,
some massive percentage of guys are single, hopelessly single, completely depressed, completely frustrated. What you just did would be similar, like if we were doing a podcast in a famine, during a famine.
And I'm like, I just keep eating.
You know, worse than that, you're just like, I'm just not in it to be full anymore. I'm a foodie now. I'm looking for like that special taco. I really just want a gourmet sandwich. I just don't want. By the way, man, I think it's great. I hope I don't seem like I'm throwing shade. You deserve it. You're fucking hilarious. You're brilliant. You're a sweet guy. Like, why not? But yeah, man, I think that, and also I've been off the scene for 5 years now. So I don't even know what's going on out there. Like, I don't even know anymore.
Well, all of my senses are atrophied. I thank you. That was very kind of you. I love, and like, I want my heart to come. I'm tired of coming from my wiener. I want my heart to come and feel that feeling all the time. And
yeah,
but it is very hard to be in a relationship in terms of like, I mean, dude, I'm only in the city for like 3 days a week. I'm on the road every weekend, which is wonderfully amazing. But it's so hard to leave someone and to be away and not available and whatever. But I love so much. I would love to be able to be like a matchmaker and try to help guys come out of that depression and help them find someone and help women find someone that would like love them and support them. Like, I love. And I love when my friends find people and they I can see their relationship blossom. And I love when, like, you're in such a love relationship and that love is building through other human. Like, that makes my heart smile so much. And I hope for that for me one day, but I think for now I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that I'm just going to have to enjoy and embrace my solitude rather than my loneliness. But would like if I could approach you after a show, I would be like, you know, that's very kind, maybe. But why don't we find you a guy here that, you know, we can dish about and I'll help you two be happy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't we find a guy here to watch us fuck?
No, let's find a really not for you and me.
I'm joking.
I've turned into a Victorian woman of like, oh no, sir, please, how dare you? Get to know me.
That's very sweet. You know, you will. They're out there, man. It's like you will find them. Like, and you do as a comic. You have to find somebody who is capable of not being so attached to you that they can't deal with the fact that you're a traveling person. Yeah. And when you find that person, then, you know, it's great. It's great. 'Cause you know, this is another thing that gets left out. The romantic love thing is incredible. That's one of the main reasons to be alive probably. But I'd do that. When you manage somehow in this insane universe to, and with your neurotic programming, at least my neurotic programming,
totally.
I know you're open about your, when you manage to find somebody and work through all that shit and like accomplish harmony with that person, then it's like the value of having someone in your life who like, where you're both helping each other with all the little shit. You're all just the shit you're doing yourself right now. Or suddenly someone is like, you know, like Aaron,
she will not let me cancel a fucking show. Like, if I'm feeling lazy, which is very common for me, I'm getting that, like, you know that thing where you're looking at your phone and you're thinking, man, it's not that important.
Yeah.
No, they have other comics who'll go up.
Yeah.
She will be like, no. No.
Good.
You're going to go.
Good.
You committed
we need
to that.
You're too brilliantly good to just silence yourself because you're a fat, lazy piece of shit.
Piece of shit. Get the fuck out there, you motherfucker. I need another refrigerator.
Well, you know, I will say, you know, talking about the cosmically connected and finding that partner and love relationship, you know, and I've talked about this before, and, you know, it is that around this time of year, I always get kind of. In May, it'll be 30 years since my dad died. So this time of year is very, you know, and also I've outlived him. I'm older now than he was when he died. So it's like kind of heavy on my mind a lot. But, you know, the idea of like love and cosmic relation, I think I've told you before, years ago, I found old journals of his when he was like 24, 25.
Yeah. And
he would write in his journal, there were all these entries day after day, and for the date, he would write like December 3rd, and then it would be crossed out, and it would say November 3rd, and he did that like five times, and then after a while, he went, I don't know why I keep writing December, something magical must be happening in that month, I'll keep my heart, my eyes open to it, but the month of December is calling me, and he met my mom in December.
Wow.
And for some reason, the whole month of November, he kept writing the date as December, and he recognized something was coming. And then he would call my mom his moon woman because he said when he spent time with her, he felt like he had known her for many moons. So,
wow. Your dad was really romantic.
Yeah.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
So beautiful. You know, talking about dead parents. A few weeks ago, I got weird. Mm. And, you know, it's somebody with like gets depression and shit sometimes. And like, I'm pretty attuned to the warning signs. I try to be at least. And like, but a lot of times I could just make sense of why, like it's inevitably my own fault. I'm staying up too late. I'm not exercising. I'm not taking vitamins. I'm not, whatever. But this one, I couldn't identify it, and I'm acting like all grumpy and shit. And Aaron is like, "What is going on with you? Like, what is happening?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to spend some time by myself and like figure it out." Anyway, all of a sudden, I'm like, "When did my mom die?" Google it. I had to Google when my mom died. It was that day.
Wow.
And like. Yeah, and then I talked to my friends as a psychiatrist. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a whole thing, like seasonal triggers with grief. And some people, they don't realize that it happens. So just all of a sudden, they're all pissed and like angry and erratic. And it's because they, you know, the moment I connected it, because like I'd been, for like a few nights, I'd been like laying in bed, about to fall asleep, and like, why do I want to sob? I feel like I'm about to start crying. What the fuck is happening to me? It was really unnerving, man.
Yeah.
But that's, grief is so weird. So I get what you're saying, is we get closer to when you lost your dad.
Because,
all the triggers, the spring, all these things, the smells, everything is like bringing you back to that.
Yeah,
that
and I was, I went back to visit my mom, and it's the same house we've been in, you know, and it's, you know, it's been me and her for like 80 years, since I was 8, for like 30 years. And I was sitting on the front step and I was smoking a cigarette. The sun was going down. We had just eaten dinner. And I'm like, man, my dad used to do this. He would sit outside, have his after dinner cigarette. And I'm like, I'm standing on the same steps. I'm older than him. This is like a very, I'm at the same house. It's like a very surreal moment, you know, and there's beauty in that. But also at the same time, you know, you saying that kind of makes me realize, man, I've been in this wavy funk lately, and I have to recognize, A, it just happens. B, there are legitimate things. And I would always be like, it's been so long. Get over it. Get over it. And I've made so much progress. But at the same time, I am allowed to let it not affect me, but kind of have waves of it and not get mad at myself for it. But that's so interesting that, I mean, how long has it been since your mother died?
2013.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, that's almost beautiful that it's not weighing you down so much as to be dreading the date, letting the date affect you. Like, I had a beautiful moment.
Oh, no, it's not healthy like that. No? It's not healthy like that. It's like me not wanting to remember. It's there's nothing healthy about it. Yeah, no, I wish it was like a, no, there's nothing really enlightened or spiritual about my relationship with that grief. It's still, I'm fucked up.
Well, there goes my theory. I was trying to.
It was sweet. I wish it was sweet. Listen, I wanted to be. I would have laughed. I mean, I wanted to be like, oh, yes.
That's because it's your mom's dad's only a baby. Mine's an old, almost going to get a retirement check. 30 years. Come on now. Oh,
come on. There's no time in grief. The time space continuum does not work with fucking grief.
No.
Unfortunately, there's no time. It doesn't seem to be based in
time.
They
say time heals all wounds, but guess what, pal? Their clocks must be broken.
Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you, Riverside. Fuck you, Ozempic. So, you know, man, the thing is, what I realized after this last bout with it is, it's like, okay, you can't see anymore. I had the perfect zit on my cheek, okay? But it was like I could feel it. It was like a cyst. I knew if I popped it, it would be the most glorious explosion of pus. But I couldn't. It was right. It was a little too deep to get out. So, like, I went meth head, man. I was, like, trying to get in there. I was obsessively, like, I want this fucking thing to pop. You know, it's my subconscious. It's all my repressed everything. Just get it out. And so anyway, when grief comes to the surface, it's no different. And like the worst thing you can do is not let it express itself through you, because it is held in your body, man. It is held. And when you expel it, it's not just like you feel better then. But you're like, I used to have back problems. Like, the more shit like that you get out of you physiologically, the more like your body feels better, because your poor body is like holding all that stuff in it. And then when you expunge it, which is why anytime the grief zit shows up, pop that shit, like get it out, let it explode. That's Alan Watts.
Yeah, well, you know, the back holds so much stress and everything. And like the last time I saw you in Austin a couple weeks ago, my back and neck were in so much pain. I couldn't leave my bed. And you really helped me by getting me that massage. But my best friend's also my doctor, and we FaceTimed, and he got me on these like steroids and, you know, ibuprofen and everything. But I was incredibly stressed out. My mind was racing. You know, I had just gotten out of my relationship. All this stuff was happening, and it just centered itself in my body, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where it's in there, man. It just gets in there. It's in there. And anytime you get to have like a breakdown, or like, you know, anytime you get to volcano that shit out, it's such a good opportunity. It's so sad that people hold on to that stuff. It's, you know, it's like, I get it. It's embarrassing to weep. It's embarrassing. You're so fucking.
You have to. Weeping is good. You got to let yourself weep and shake and snot and ugly cry, you know?
Ugly cry. Yeah, you got to do that. I mean, or you're going to get like emotional blue balls. And that shows up as like that can show up as like sorry, man. I told my kids not to fucking landscape. You know how hard it is to find a toddler fucking leaf blower? Like, they can't carry the full-size leaf blower, so you got to get them this like Hasbro leaf blower, and they're loud because they're
small. I'll tell you what'll make them carry. You tell them use their fucking arm as an ashtray again, or else they fucking better get to going on carrying that leaf blower.
You know what we do? Black coffee. It's just black coffee. It's a dream for a parent. You get them fucking hyper caffeinated. get them out there doing yard work. They love it. Teach them to push themselves. I make them listen to David Goggins, the I don't know if you know who that is, but hardcore athlete. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all about pain, yeah. The glory of pain of pushing yourself. And they do great yard work, man. They do great yard work.
I love it. I wish I had a yard.
Ian.
Yeah.
I think the leaf blower is our cue to wrap this thing up. You are one of my favorite people to talk to on a podcast, man. Thank you so much for your time. And I can't wait for you to come to Austin again. When are you coming back? That was so cool to see you.
It really was, man. And thank you. I'm so glad I got to do the comedy mothership and do it with you and see you run your hour. And that was so fun. I'm going to be back at the end of May. I'm opening for Attell at the Comedy Mothership. Great. So,
oh, you are? Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
God, so hopefully, damn it! Go ahead.
Hopefully we can get together and maybe do a little cookout again. But
yes.
You're the best, man. I love your beautiful mind and friendship. Talking
you.
To you
likewise.
On and off is always such a pleasure of mine. So thank you, Duncan.
When in May?
I think the 30th and 31st.
You got any other shows to plug?
Yeah, my podcast, Being Ian with Jordan, comes out every Wednesday on YouTube and patreon.com/beingianpod. And
what a great podcast, by the way, man. You guys are in the algorithm. You know what? You just pop up randomly. That's a good sign, man. You're like in the algo.
We're having fun, man. I anytime you're in the city, I'll change everything around to have you on. You got to come down in the Delaware Den and have some fun. But yeah, I'm going to be at Comedy on State June 8th through 10th. I got a bunch of tour dates coming up. IanFidance.com for all my dates.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, my friend.
That was Ian Fidance. Go see him in Nashville. Listen to his podcast. Every single link you need to make contact with this dear angel man can be found at DuncanTrussell.com. A tremendous thank you to our sponsors and a giant thank you to you for listening.